Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Follow Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program 407 in the series. It's July 27th, 2019, and it's a Saturday night. And to my right is the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
All good, Carl. What's up?
Well, we have classic radio coming your way.
We
the
do.
Six Shooter, starring James Stewart from 1953. Start things off. And then Archie Andrews from 1949, and then Gangbusters from 1948. Shantae Garth is in the booth, so it's going to be smooth sailing. And we're going to play our game right now. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
All right, let's do it. The celebrity is one of your favorites, Jackie Gleason.
Oh, wow.
Good one.
Yeah.
And we are going to give away a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers.
Sounds good. What caller
good
would you
one.
Like?
We're going to go for caller number five. You can call right now at 312-981-7200. Caller now. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We have Leanne on the phone. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm just great.
Terrific. We're glad to hear from you. It's a little Jackie Gleason, and that's always fun, right?
Hi, Leanne.
Yes, it is.
Always.
Hi, how are you doing, girl?
Great. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, you're already a winner, but we'll have a little fun first. Number one, when you see him pat his stomach on the Honeymooners, it's because he forgot a line. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Carl?
It's real.
It's real. That's absolutely true.
All right, this is for you, Leanne.
And
this is for me.
I know it's pretty crazy, but that's what he did. Number two. In 1961, he hosted the game show Think Twice, which only lasted one episode. Real or ridiculous?
Oh, I don't know.
Carl, you want to help her out?
I have no idea.
Well, you guys can decide.
So whatever Leanne says, I'm agreeing. What
okay.
do you think, Leanne?
Oh, I would say yes.
All right,
all right,
real.
We're going to go with yes.
Real.
I'm sorry. He did host a game show that only lasted one episode. It was called You're in the Picture. So I guess it
I
wasn't
know.
A winner,
no.
but he gave it his best. Number three, there's an 8-foot-tall bronze statue of Ralph Cramden in Manhattan. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think it would be in Manhattan. I think it would be in, like, the Bronx or something like that.
Right.
So I'll say ridiculous.
I'm so sorry. It absolutely is in Manhattan. That is real.
I know.
You know what, though? The great news here, it doesn't matter because you are a big winner on the WGN Radio Theater. You have won the highly coveted desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men. You can visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com. Thank you so much, Leanne. It was so fun to play with you.
Thank you very much. You
thank
too.
Thank you.
All right. In just a moment, we will be tuning into the Six Shooter. Want to remind you that we have a text in line. It's 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. Lisa just loves reading your texts to me, and because Lisa gets the texts, she has that at her her side of the council.
And Carl could use a little help in the reading department.
Yeah,
so it works out perfectly that
right,
way.
Right, absolutely. Hey, what are you, when you know, all your fleet of cars that you have,
yes.
What do? How do you keep them clean? Do you take them somewhere? Or do you have someone that just you have on staff to keep your cars clean? Or
I
how does that
like
work?
I would like somebody to detail my cars, but I usually just go through the car wash on the corner.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You don't have them detailed really nice.
I don't. Should
all
I?
Your fleet, your Maybach and your Rolls and
I
all
don't.
That kind of stuff.
My Lamborghini really should make it over there one day.
Well, you know, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I use Renewed Rides, and they're at renewedrides.com. They will actually come out to your house and detail your car.
So did you do that?
I did it today.
I didn't know they detailed
Yugos. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They will.
They will. They'll detail
Yugo. It doesn't matter what kind of car it is. It could be a 1974 Yugo like mine.
Then I'm okay.
And they did a great job. And, folks, you should check them out. RenewedRides.com. If you ever had your car detailed, they'll come out to you. That's great. Because I used to take my car to a place and have to sit around for hours, hours and everything. No, they come out to you. You can continue to do whatever you're doing.
They bring all the materials to your house?
Yep.
What kinds of things do they bring?
Oh, everything. Just everything they need.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Do they have to look at the car first so they know what it is? Or they just have a whole stock full of things?
No, they're awesome. So just go to their website, and there's a contact form on there so you can have them come out to you. RenewedRides.com.
Sounds
They're fantastic.
Good.
I just had my car completely detailed. Didn't it look nice when you were driving in my Yugo today?
It did.
Yeah.
It did, and now I know
nice
why.
Nice and clean.
It
smelled so
this
nice.
This time it was.
Right.
Some other times, not so fresh.
Well, because I didn't have it detailed before. Now I did. All right, well, Six Shooter is what we're going to start things off with. Good Western. James Stewart starred as Britt Ponset, frontier drifter and all-around good guy. It premiered on NBC Radio in 1953, Ponset carried a gray steel six-gun with an unmarked rainbow mother-of-pearl handle. People called them both the six-shooter. Stewart was perfect as the slow-talking maverick who found himself embroiled in other people's problems. And sometimes, Lisa, he had to shoot his way out of those problems. And it was a great Western, but it came too late. Only lasted one season. We have all of the episodes from the Six Shooter series, and we have a broadcast for you now. Episode 1 in the series, going back to September 20th, 1953. It's called Jenny. Here is James Stewart in part 1 now of the Six Shooter.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company present James Stewart as the six-shooter, a transcribed series of dramas based on the life of Britt Ponset, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
It was hot that afternoon. A low, crawling kind of heat that seemed to be following us as we rode along. The sun hadn't come out in the morning, but about noon it pushed through the clouds. Boy, it was hot. By 4 o'clock, when it should have been cooling off, just seemed hotter than ever. We still had about 15 miles to go before we'd hit Lead Creek. That was where I figured on getting a job helping lay track on that new spur line to Salt Lake City. I nudged Scar on the flank, and we headed down a little gully. His ears pricked up, and he jerked his head. I wasn't sure whether he'd heard something or just sensed it. You know, with a horse, it's pretty hard to tell where hearing leads off and sensing begins. Ah, what's the matter, boy?
Hey.
And then I heard it, too. I wheeled Scar off the trail. Went about 20 yards before I saw him. He was lying in the shade of a yellow boulder in a clump of mesquite. Young fella, just lying there. He looked comfortable and relaxed like he was taking a siesta. But he couldn't have been enjoying himself too much, not with a big red stain like that across the front of his shirt. What's the trouble?
I had a little accident.
Yeah, it looks that way. What happened?
My horse threw me a couple hours ago. Must have landed on my gun. Went off. See, you haven't got any water, have you?
Sure.
Thanks. Lucky you came by, mister. You're a stranger, ain't you?
Oh, I'm just passing through. Here, I'm not much of a doc. Maybe I can fix a bandage for you for the time being.
No, I already fixed one. Here's my shirt tail. Don't seem to be doing much good.
Oh, here, let me see if I can tighten it. Hold on now. You think you can ride?
I don't know. You ain't seen my pony, a pinto with a half moon on its flank?
No, I can't say I have.
Must run off.
Oh, no, just don't worry about him. My horse will get us into Lead Creek.
Lead Creek?
Yeah, that's close to town, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, all right, now let me give you a hand here.
It ain't no use, miss.
No, you gotta try. Now, just lean your weight on me.
I'll never make it.
Okay. That's it.
There's a cabin. I'm passing a mile or so west. I might be able to ride that far.
Oh, that'd be better than staying here. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna lift your feet up. Now, that'll hurt plenty. But once you're in the saddle, you'll be all right. Now, here we go.
There we are.
I'll take it real slow. I'll walk alongside. There we are. I was west, you said, huh?
Yeah. I sure do appreciate this, mister. I sure want...
You keeled over in the saddle. I managed to keep from sliding out, and we started off. About 15 minutes later, I saw the cabin he'd been talking about, and wasn't much more than a shack, only 2-3 rooms and a couple of acres of fenced-in pasture and a barn. I led Scar up to the front stoop and lifted the young fellow off. He was still unconscious, which was all of the good, of course. I carried him up to the front door and gave it a couple of kicks. Kicked again, and he sprung open. Anybody home? Hello? Well... There, now you just lay there. I'll try and get some rest. I'll look around.
Where?
He passed out again. I covered him with a blanket lying across the foot of the cot there. And supper was on the kitchen stove. Beef stew smelled pretty good. I opened the back door. I saw somebody cut up a pile of kindling over near the barn. Whoever it was sure knew how to handle an axe.
Where'd you come from?
Now, I'm sorry if I frightened you, ma'am. I knocked on the front door, but I guess you couldn't hear me, huh?
I ain't got no handouts for tramps. Go on, get out.
Well, I'm not exactly a tramp, ma'am. Although I'm not blaming you for thinking it, I've been riding for quite a spell.
Well, what do you want?
Well, I ran across a fellow a little while ago in a gully just east of here. He'd been shot up.
Shot?
Yeah, he said his gun went off accidental. He's hurt pretty bad, and since this place yours was the closest...
Where is he?
Well, I took the liberty of putting him in the cot inside there, so I hope you don't... She didn't wait even for me to finish. She just... marched past me like I wasn't even there. I watched her for a second, then I followed her into the house. I'd never run into a woman exactly like her before. At first, I thought she was a man. You know, the pants, the checkered shirt she was wearing, and the way she chopped up kindling, they fooled me. She walked like a man, too. Stiff, square-shouldered, and her eyes, they...
besides, all right. Kind of soft and young and frightened. Yeah. The rest of her had been pretty as her eyes. She'd been a real fine-looking girl.
All right, that's the first portion of The Six Shooter from September 20th, 1953, the very first episode in the series called Jenny, starring James Stewart. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. Hey, Lisa, ever been on a road trip and didn't know where to stop?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
All the time. I never know where to stop.
I go to Cracker Barrel a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I love Cracker Barrel.
I'm kind of a Chipotle fan.
But there's not always a Cracker Barrel. So, you know, and you don't know where to stop? Well, guess what? You can go to a website. Bestoftheinterstate.com is where to find the best destinations and attractions along all U.S. interstates. Head to bestoftheinterstate.com to plan your best road trip yet. Don't guess. Know the best, bestoftheinterstate.com. Next time you are planning a road trip, before you get in that car or van or truck or, you know, Lisa's Maybach or her limo, she should check bestoftheinterstate.com. That's what I would do next road trip. Then you'll know where
you're
going.
I would,
too. All right? Check it out, bestoftheinterstate.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. It is 11:36 on a Saturday night. So glad you're joining us for Classic Radio. And tonight we will have the conclusion in just a moment of The Six Shooter. Then it's Archie Andrews, good comedy. And then Gangbusters, good FBI-type program. James Stewart is starring in this broadcast called Jenny from September 20th, 1953, the very first episode in the series. Here is the conclusion now to The Six Shooter.
Take that rag off him while I fix a new bandage.
Yes, ma'am. It's a shame to tear up a fancy petticoat like that.
I got no need for petticoats, mister. Can you turn him on his side? That's better. Now, if I can just get the bleeding to stop.
You know him, ma'am?
No. Why should I?
Oh, I just thought since he was in your neighborhood.
Lots of folks pass by here. That don't mean I know him. I don't know you neither.
Oh, sorry. My name's Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett. I've heard of you somewhere, haven't I?
No, not likely. This is the first time I've been around Lead Creek here.
Got a pocket knife?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Why, George, you're doing a real good job on him, you know. Your husband off somewhere today?
I'm not married.
Oh, sure, must get kind of lonely out here all by yourself, doesn't it?
I like being alone. I don't want a lot of people around me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't say I blame you. I never been much on congregating myself. I always sort of like to... Well, you know, that bleeding's letting up a little. All right, I guess I'll be shoving off, ma'am. When I get into town, I'll send the doctor out here.
No.
So...
No, you can't. What I mean is there's no doctor in Lead Creek.
Oh?
He moved away a couple of years ago.
Well, there must be a doc somewhere around these places.
No, not within 100 miles. I'll have to take care of him myself.
Well, maybe I can find somebody to help you. You know, since I brought him in here, I sort of feel...
I'd rather do it alone. I'll manage all right.
Well, that's mighty decent of you, but him being a stranger... All right. Well, so long.
Mr. Ponsett?
Yes, ma'am?
You won't tell the folks in town he's here.
Hmm?
Well, he's a stranger, like you said. He don't concern them, and I don't want them laughing at me. They'd say, Jenny Garver's finally got herself a man. And if he wasn't unconscious, you'd never have managed it. So, you won't tell them, will you?
Well, I don't suppose anybody will ask me about him. Easy, boy. Easy.
What are you looking at?
Well, I was just noticing those horses over in the pasture there, though. Are both yours?
Yes, they are. Why?
No reason. No, I just... A pinto looks like a good animal. What do you call him?
His name's Moon, because of the marking on his flank. Looks like a half moon.
Yeah, I can see it, yeah. Well, I hope the patient doesn't give you too much trouble. All right, Star, come on. The sun went down, but it didn't cool off much. Maybe when the moon came out, there'd be a little breeze. I've been riding for a couple hours since I left the cabin. Still had 5 or 6 miles to go before I hit Lead Creek. We were coming through a narrow canyon when I heard a little rustling sound. First, I thought maybe it was that breeze I'd been waiting for. The next thing I knew, I was behind a rock. I wasn't quite sure how I got there. I guess my legs sort of took over without me having to tell them what to do.
You ain't got a chance, Ned. We're all around you. Come out from behind those rocks and keep your hands up.
Well, I'd be glad to oblige, but I ain't Ned. Whoever he is.
Hold it a minute, Sheriff.
Hmm? Oh. Well, looks like we made a little mistake, boys.
You all right, mister?
No serious damage, I guess.
Well, sorry to bother you, but what are you doing out here anyway?
Well, I was heading for town. I heard there might be some work on the new railroad. Thought I might sign up for a spell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I can always use another man. My name's York. Sheriff Jim York.
I'm pleased to meet you, Sheriff. I'm Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett? The fellow they call Six Shooter?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were in these parts. Boys, meet Britt Ponsett. Britt, this is Sam Norville.
Howdy.
Tom Jackson. Harry Potter.
Howdy.
Britt's the man who brought in the Phoenix Kid. Kid had the drop on him, too, but he never got a chance to pull a trigger. At least, that's the way folks tell it.
Yeah, well, between the doing and the telling, you know, there's apt to be some exaggeration.
Well, anyway, I'm sure glad we run into you tonight. That six gun of yours may come in handy.
Oh?
Yeah, we're looking for Ned Landy. That's who we thought you was at first.
Mm-hmm. I figure something like that. Now, what's this Landy been up to?
Trouble. For the last 3 months. Hold up, a couple of shooting sprees. Broke into Harry's bank last night and killed Harry's brother.
I see.
I've taken a posse after him before, but we always seem to lose him in these hills. We'll get him tonight, though. Picked up his trail this morning. Even spotted him for a minute or two on the far side of Devil's Canyon over in the trees. I got off a shot. Thought I'd hit him for sure. But I guess my aim was off. Anyway, he gave us a slip again.
Oh, what's he look like?
Oh, he's young, about 23, I'd say. Short, but wiry. Black hair, rides a pinto.
Pinto, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I have.
Yeah? Well, where was he?
I left him at a cabin about 9 miles back. And your aim was all right this morning, Sheriff. He's carrying a bullet in his stomach. Of course, he said he'd shot himself by accident.
The only cabin out this way is Jenny Garber's.
That's the woman. That's the woman who lived there. Huh?
Well, come on, boys. Let's go. Ain't you coming too, Britt?
Oh, no, you won't need any help, Sheriff. That Landy's not likely to last long enough for you to get him into town, I don't think.
Well, we'll get him in all right. Doc will see to that.
The doc? What, but I understood
sure.
There weren't any.
Sam here's a doctor. At least, that's what he's been claiming for the past 20 years.
Yes. Just wait a minute, Sheriff. Just hold on. You know, I've changed my mind. I think maybe I will ride up there with you. About an hour and a half after I met up with the sheriff, we came to a little stream trickling down the hill just off the trail. I'd missed it when I passed by before. I hadn't known there was any water around, and Scar hadn't smelled it either, the air being so quiet and everything. Well, we pulled up and gave the horses a chance to get a drink.
Well, I guess there ain't no rush. Isn't that as bad off as you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something funny, Sheriff?
Well, I was just thinking about Jenny Garber.
Oh?
Yep, she's finally got herself a man. He's going to be real temporary, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and if he didn't have a bullet in him, I'll bet he'd take off the first time he got a look at her.
Well, it'd take more than a bullet to keep me there.
Me too, Sheriff.
What, is there something wrong with Jenny?
Well, you've seen her, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well?
Well, I guess she's no beauty.
Oh. Now, that's giving her the benefit of the doubt, Ponsett. Now, if you ask me,
My horse is better looking.
No, no, you know, Sheriff, now a lot of plain women seem to get along all right. Better than some of the pretty ones, you know.
Well, it ain't just that Jenny's ugly, but she's so darn awkward and big. Why, even when she was a little girl living in town, she was always a head taller than any boy her age. And stronger, too. Well, I guess they've had enough drinkers.
You were.
Yeah, the thing was, her folks was peculiar about Jenny. Wouldn't admit she was any different from the other girls.
Hey, you remember how they used to dress her? All those fancy clothes with frills and ribbons. What made her look twice as foolish as she would have otherwise.
No.
Her father used to take her to parties, too, in his square dances. But he was the only one who ever danced with her. No, sir. I don't think a single boy in town courted her. Not once.
You're forgetting Willie Franklin.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, Will Franklin?
Yeah, yeah. He's quite a cut-up. Made a bet one night with some of the fellas. He said he'd get Jenny to agree to marry him. He took her out in his wagon and proposed. Of course, she said yes. But he didn't know that Willie's friends was all hidden in the back of the wagon. Leastwise, he didn't know it until they all busted out laughing.
It was right after that her folks died, wasn't it, Sheriff?
Yeah, yeah. That's when she bought this cabin. About 5 years ago, come to think of it. Well, Jenny can't be more than 25 or 6. Looks a whole lot older, though. Wouldn't you say so, Britt?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not much good at judging ages, especially a woman's.
There's her place, up ahead. Lamp's still on. She must be up.
Sure, she's up all right. First time she ever had a man within touching distance, ain't it?
Ooh, boy. Ooh.
What's the matter?
Well, better leave the horses here and go the rest of the way on foot.
Oh, now, Landy's not apt to give you any trouble.
Oh, you never can tell. He may be feeling better by now.
Yeah, but not that much.
Hey, he's seen us. Didn't waste no time about it, neither. Guess he wasn't as sick as you thought, Britt.
Or else he made a mighty fast recovery.
Yeah. We'll never hit him from down here.
What do you suppose happened to Jenny?
I don't know. I've forgotten about her. She's probably got her half scared to death. Well, we'll have to rush him.
It ain't gonna be easy, Sheriff. With this moon, he's sure to spot us.
What's all we can do? Sam, you and Harry see if you can make it up to the fence over there.
Right.
You okay?
Okay.
Now I'll fire twice. That'll be the signal to close in.
Now, hold on a minute, Sheriff. Just hold up here a minute. Now, if we go plowing up in front of that cabin, somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, what's the matter, Ponset? You've been shot at before.
Well, that doesn't mean exactly I like the idea. And besides, there's another way of getting in that door around back. And there are a couple of trees back there, too.
Oh, no, he'll be watching the back door. That's well, no fool.
I know, but it's worth a try, eh?
All right, I'll go with you.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you just let me go alone. One man ain't as apt to be seen. Now, you just keep firing. And if I ain't back in 5 minutes, well, we'll take him your way, huh?
5 minutes. We won't wait no longer.
I hunched down low and I started circling toward the rear of the cabin. And there wasn't much cover, just rocks and a couple of scrub pines. Anyway, nobody was shooting at me yet. So far, nobody'd seen me. I come up along the side of the barn, and the back door was just ahead now. I still had about 20 yards to go. I ran forward and my foot caught. I tripped over some of the kindling Jenny had stacked up there in the afternoon. I lay quiet for a minute. I just waited. It sounded to me like I'd made enough noise so they could hear it clear down Lead Creek. Shooting wasn't in my direction. So I got up on my knees and I raced for the cabin. I opened up the door. I kept on going. And when I got into the living room, I saw I'd figured right. That was on the cot, just where I'd left him. Hadn't moved. It was Jenny who was doing the firing. And she swung around. She pointed the revolver at me. Her eyes weren't soft, not anymore.
You told him. You brought him here.
Oh, I had to, Jenny.
I would have taken him away as soon as he was well enough. Why couldn't you let us alone?
That killed a man last night, Jenny.
I don't care. I don't care what he does.
As long as he needs me, I'll stand by him and help him.
He needed a hideout, didn't he? He must have been staying here for some time, or his pony wouldn't have had enough sense to come back here with his own accord. They're going to start closing in, Jenny.
You're not going to take him away from me. I won't let you. Ned likes me. He told me he likes me. And he's the first person who ever did.
Give me your gun, Jenny.
Even if it isn't true. Even if he didn't really mean it. He doesn't laugh at me like the others. He doesn't mind my looks. Everybody said I'd be an old maid. Even my mother said it. But I won't. Not now. Ned'll take me with him. He'll marry me. I know he will.
Jenny, listen to me.
Don't you understand? I can't let you take him away. No matter what. Not even if I have to...
Killing me won't help Ned.
It's the only way I can keep him. I gotta stop you somehow. You and the others out there.
Well, there's no way you can keep him, Jenny. He's dead.
What?
Now turn around. Turn around, look at him. Now, I'm not trying to catch you off guard. Just turn around. He hasn't been breathing, not since I came in.
Oh, he loved me. Ned loved me.
All right, boys, come on in.
You all right?
I got him, huh, Britt?
Oh, there he is.
I might have known you'd take care of him.
No, it wasn't me, Sheriff. It was you.
Huh?
Your bullet from this afternoon.
Well, I'll be darned. I told you I was sure I'd hit him. Remember, Tom, I told you.
Well, then how come he was able to hold us off just now?
Well, he was a tough one to kill. He wouldn't give up. The strain of shooting at us must have finally finished him. Ain't that the way you figured, Britt?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, what's the matter with her? Little gunplay bother you, Jenny? Come on, come on. Get a hold of yourself. It's all over now. Yeah, sure is funny how women are scared of gunfire. Every one of them. Even Jenny. Well, it just goes to show you that underneath, they're all pretty much alike.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they are. Well... Nat was buried the next day, and there was one bunch of flowers at the funeral, wild daisies. Folks just couldn't figure out who sent them. And, you know, they tell me that it was right about then that Jenny Garver started acting different. Oh, I don't mean she got pretty or anything like that, but she did seem more confident. She just seemed a little more sure of herself. People said if they didn't know better, they'd swear that a man had something to do with the way she changed, but of course they all knew better.
Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, have presented James Stewart as the Six Shooter. And heard in the cast were D.J. Thompson, Jess Kirkpatrick, George Neese, and Harry Bartell. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking.
That's The Six Shooter from September 20th, 1953, the very first broadcast from the series called Jenny that stars James Stewart. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Do you have a federal student loan debt? Kaplan Law Firm has a secret to lowering your monthly payment and eliminating thousands of dollars in federal student loan debt. If you work in the public sector, are a fireman, police officer, doctor, or nurse, you're likely qualified for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. Not in the public sector, Kaplan Law Firm can still help to reduce your monthly student loan payments. Give Ray Kaplan a call at 312-294-8989 or visit financialrelief.com.
What happens if you're a radio announcer? Can I You qualify?
I am positive that Ray Kaplan can help you.
Really?
Yep. You should give him a call.
Get rid of my student loans.
That's right. Yours or your children's, one or the other.
Well, you know, all that studying to be an astronaut.
It really took up a
years.
Lot of space,
it did.
Didn't it?
Yeah. I took up a lot of space.
Oh, you did. It did. We all did.
I did. Yeah. I took up a lot of space.
You still
in college.
Take up a lot of space.
I know it. All right. That's hour one. We have two more hours, though. We're going to be here for two more hours, Lisa.
We sure are.
We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning playing all your favorite classic
be
radio
here until
shows.
You drive me home.
That's true. Archie Andrews is coming your way next. Bob Hastings starring as comic. They were in the comics, Archie Comics, and it made a transition to radio. There's also a television show right now, Riverdale.
Yes.
That is based on all of these characters. Crazy. And then Gangbusters in Hour 3. So lots more coming your way right here on the WGN Radio Theater. Really quickly, want to remind everybody that this show is brought to you in part by the Classic Radio Club. We would love it if you check it out. Go to our website, classicradioclub.com. If you're a fan of the golden age of radio, this is the club for you. You can get 10 of the best quality and the best shows from the golden age of radio every month sent to your home, either on CD or on digital downloads. It's all there, classicradioclub.com, right, Lisa?
I do. Yes, I love the digital download, so I have fun with that.
Mike likes the CDs. I like both.
Every month. You like to get the CDs and the downloads.
It's like, hey, Mikey, he likes it. Mikey likes everything. Some people love CDs. They want the CDs. So we offer these 10 classic radio shows each month on 5 CDs in a collector case with really nice color pictures, and it's really cool. And then you get liner notes as well.
I still get the liner notes.
Yeah,
so
you do. You get the liner notes,
too. I'm happy to get all the information, and I just store it on my computer, so it takes up no space that way.
Yeah, when the digital downloads come to you, there's a PDF, too. So you click that, and it's all the stuff that I write about each of the shows. But there's two ways to join. Join the CD membership or join the digital download membership. And it is all there. In fact, the first month, it's only $1 to join. Just go to classicradioclub.com. We'd love you to be a member, like hundreds and hundreds of your fellow listeners.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. Welcome back. Hour two. Thanks, David. All right. It is time for hour two of the WGN Radio Theater here at midnight.
Well, I clearly have you in my brain because I chose another one of your favorites.
You have a brain?
I said your brain. I'm talking about my brain. Oh, no, I did say my brain.
Well, we showed your brain last week.
Yes, we did.
We had a picture of
it's
Lisa's
awesome
brain.
Too, wasn't
yeah, it had
it?
A lot of grooves in it. It's very groovy.
I'm pretty
very
groovy.
Very groovy brain.
For a really ridiculous, I chose Amy Poehler, another one of your favorites.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Well, in this hour, Archie Andrews. Don't forget about that. Then in our third hour, it's Gangbusters, but it's time to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Brought to you by Cat's Pride, Amy Poehler.
And the prize will be the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
How many callers would you like?
We want a lot of callers.
Yeah.
We want 6 callers.
Caller 6.
Caller 6. It's a good number. 312-981-7200. Call right now.
Oh, we're back. This week on Chicago's Best, have no fear. The Chicago's Best team has great food and great beer. Chicago's Best Brew Pubs, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. I was so occupied with playing, all these, sounds.
Was that the sound you were playing? I thought it was a different one.
No, I love this thing.
Gosh. I know you do.
$9.99.
I did not. That is not correct.
This was my birthday present from Lisa.
Okay, wait. Both of those things were incorrect.
Not the biggest spender.
Wait a second. Let's just clarify. It was not $9.99. It was $19.99, first of all. Second of all, it was not your birthday.
It was on sale for $9.99.
It was not on sale.
Yeah.
And second of all, it was not your birthday. It was Christmas.
Not exactly the biggest spender.
But I put it inside of a Lululemon bag.
Here.
Okay, he forgot the other part. The Lululemon bag.
But you know what? It doesn't matter what you spent on it.
Clearly
I like it.
Clearly it does. That sound I don't like.
Whatever.
That one's fine. That's
the
kid
this
crying.
It's really
grating.
Cool. It's called the Sound Bites.
I'll have to get you another one this Christmas because by then the batteries will be out and you can't replace them.
Well, Bruce is on the phone. Hey, Bruce. What's going on?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good, buddy.
All right, we got distracted. Bruce, you ready to do a little Amy Poehler, Really Ridiculous?
Sure.
All right, we've got a great lifeline over here for you.
Yeah.
Number one, Amy Poehler has the rare distinction of being in two movies that opened on the same day, Mean Girls and Envy.
I have no idea. I'll say true.
Real.
It's real. That is absolutely correct. Okay. Number two. In 2011, she was included on Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World.
Oh, this is one of those things that I never understand anyway.
I know.
I'll say real.
Real.
Real. Okay, number three.
You're a good guesser, Bruce. Since you don't, he's like, I don't know, but I'll guess. Yes.
No, I know what you're saying. Sometimes it's hard to understand those lists. Number three. In 2014, she won the Golden Globe for Outstanding Actress in a Comedy Series for Parks and Recreation. Real or ridiculous?
All right, we'll go for real.
Real.
Real it is. Wow, you guys are a good team.
I'll say.
Well, you know what? You are the winner, Bruce. You have won the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-minute men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Congratulations. You are going to love your weather station. I love mine, so I know you'll love it, too.
Thanks. I got to run out and get a lotto ticket before
That's right.
Before your luck runs out.
Way to go, buddy. Good job.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. All right. He's a big winner. And don't forget, folks, text us. We love getting your texts. 312-981-7200. And if you've never texted us, why haven't you? You're listening to the show.
I'm waiting
for your text right now. Every week listening to the show. We're here in the studio at WGN. And we love when our listeners text us. So come on, text us, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, right, I'm waiting for your text. I've got with bated breath, as Carl would say.
All right, well, it's time for The Adventures of Archie Andrews. This was a teenage sitcom adapted from the very popular comic strip by Bob Montana. Came to NBC Radio in 1943, lasted for 11 seasons, all the way to 1953. And for a time, it was sponsored by Swift Premium Sausage, which is something Lisa loves to eat every morning with her breakfast. She's such a big meat eater at Lisa Wolf. And Archie was the only child of Mary and Fred Andrews. He lived in Riverdale, and he attended Riverdale High. His two main crushes were Veronica Lodge and Betty Cooper. His best friend was Jughead Jones. And Charles Mullen was radio's first Archie Andrews, then Jack Rimes and Burt Boyar. And then Bob Hastings played the role the longest. We have a Bob Hastings episode for you now from August 24th, 1949. This is called Trying to Go Fishing. Here's part one of Archie Andrews.
Jughead, this is Archie. Come over right away.
I can, Archie. I'm making myself a Kraft chocolate malted.
But, Jug, it's a matter of life or death.
Relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, here he is again, the youngster millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Transcribed and brought to you by three wonderful products of the Kraft Foods Company. Kraft Dairy Fresh Caramels, Kraft Chocolate-Flavored Malted Milk, and Kraft Famous Ice Cream Mix Frizz. Yes, here's Archie Andrews, Knowledge Gang! And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's Saturday morning as we look in on the Andrews home, and we find Mr. Andrews seated in the living room reading his newspaper.
Let's see now. You gotta see what's in on some of this. Let's see. You gotta see what's in the fishing. Hey, what do you know about that? Oh, Mary! Mary!
Yes, Fred, are you calling me?
Yes, dear. Mary, guess what I'm gonna do this afternoon?
Fall asleep on the couch.
You're absolutely right. Mary, no! I'm not gonna fall asleep on the couch. If I do any falling asleep, it'll be out at the river.
Out at the river?
That's right, at the river. Because I, my dear, am going fishing.
Fishing? Fred, what brought this up?
This article in the paper says the big ones are biting out at the river. And I just remembered I haven't done any fishing at all this summer.
Well, that's right, you haven't.
And I think it'll do me good to get out and spend a nice, quiet afternoon at fishing. Fresh air and sunshine, relaxation.
Fred, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
It'll do you a world of good. When are you going?
Just as soon as I can get my fishing tackle together.
All right. I'll make some sandwiches for you to take along for lunch.
Wonderful, and I'll dig out my fishing rod.
I'll make the sandwiches right now.
Good. Yes, sir. Been a long time since I've been out there waving a hook at those fish. Just get the old fishing rod out of this closet and, It's funny. Fishing rod isn't in here. Oh, Mary!
Yes, dear?
Have you seen my fishing rod?
Well?
I said, have you
seen... Hiya, Dad.
Oh, hello, Archie. I said, have you...
How's the boy today, Dad?
Fine, thanks. I said, have
you... Swell day, isn't it, Dad?
It's lovely. I said,
it's
if you...
It's the nicest day we've had this week.
Archie, all right, so it's a nice day. But I am trying to talk to your mother. Do you mind?
She was dead. I don't mind.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Archie!
Okay, Dad, okay.
Okay. Mary, I said, have you seen my fishing rod?
Your fishing rod? Well, have you looked in the hall closet?
Yes, Mary, I looked in the hall closet, and it isn't there.
You know, Dad, I think I saw it up in the attic.
You did?
Oh, no, Archie. I was up there yesterday, and I didn't see it there. I think it's down in the basement.
It is?
Oh, no, Mom. I was working down there the other day, and I didn't see it there. Maybe it's out in the garage.
No, Archie. I cleaned out the garage last week, and it wasn't there.
Hmm. Well, Fred, where could it be?
Mary, I don't know. But I can see one thing. If I'm going to do any fishing today, I'm going to have to do a little hunting first.
And now, back to the Andrews, who are busily searching for Mr. Andrews' fishing rod.
Fred, did you find it?
No, Mary, I didn't. Did you find it, Archie?
No, Dad, and I looked in my room, your room, the guest room, and all the upstairs closets.
Oh, dear, and I looked in the attic and in all the rooms and closets down here.
And I looked in the basement and in the garage.
Fred, where on earth could it be?
Mary, if I knew, I wouldn't be playing fishing rod, who's got the fishing rod?
Gee whiz, I just remembered.
Just remembered what?
About your fishing rod, Dad. It's at Jughead's house.
Oh, well, all right. I thought perhaps it was you at whose house?
Jughead's.
Archie, what is my fishing rod doing at Jughead's house?
Well, I loaned it to his Uncle Herman a few weeks ago, and he never brought it back.
Oh, fine. Archie, what right did you have to
lend... Now, Fred, there was nothing wrong with lending your fishing rod. You hardly ever use it.
But I...
Just call up Jughead, have him bring the rod back, and then you can go fishing.
But I... Oh, me. All right, Mary... But the boy still had no right to lend that rod without asking my permission.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I should hope so. Now get Jughead on the phone and tell him to get over here with that rod in a hurry.
Okay, Dad, I will.
Well.
Operator, get me Riverdale 479, please. I sure hope he's home.
He better be.
Now, Fred.
Hello?
Hello, Jughead, this is Archie.
Oh, hi, Archie.
Listen, Jug, do you remember when you borrowed my father's fishing rod so you and your Uncle Herman could go fishing a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, you never returned the rod, and my father wants it to go fishing.
What for? He won't catch anything.
Yes, Jug, but he just...
He'll just get all sunburned mosquito bit.
Jug, I just...
You can buy fish cheaper down at the market.
Jughead, all right. But my father still wants to go fishing, whether you think he'll catch anything or not. So bring that rod over here right away.
Okay, Archie.
Okay.
Is he coming over?
Yeah, Dad. He said he'd be right here.
Good.
There. You see, Fred, I told you there was nothing to get so excited about. He'll be here in no time.
I hope so.
Of course he will. Now, I better finish making your sandwiches.
All right, dear. Now, let me see. All I have to do is get my creel and my boots and some hooks, and I'll be all set to go fishing.
What are you going to use for bait, Dad?
Bait? Oh, good grief. I forgot all about that. Gotta have some bait, don't I?
Well, you sure do, Dad. Unless you're just going fishing to catch a cold. Catch a cold. Wasn't funny, huh?
No, Archie, not very funny. Now, listen, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah?
I want you to go out in the backyard and catch some grasshoppers.
Sure, Dad. Grasshoppers? Dad, what do you want grasshoppers for?
Not to teach me how to jump. I want them for bait.
Bait? Dad, who ever heard of grasshoppers for bait?
Archie, any fisherman who knows what he's doing knows that at this time of year, grasshoppers are the finest bait you can think of. Besides, they're a lot easier to catch than digging for worms.
But, Dad, I don't want to go catching grasshoppers.
Archie, don't argue. I'll pay you a nickel a grasshopper.
But, Dad, I do. You will?
Yes, I will. But I want a nice big one.
Gee whiz, okay, Dad, I'll go catch some right now. Gee whiz, a nickel apiece for all the grasshoppers. Gee whiz.
Well, that solves the bait problem. Now I better get my creel out of the closet. And something tells me I'll come home tonight with that creel loaded with whoppers. Yes, sir, Oh, fine. No creel. Mary!
Yes, dear?
Where's my creel?
Where's your what?
My creel. Thought it was in this closet, but it isn't.
Fred, what on earth's a creel?
Mary, a creel is a small wicker basket that I wear on a strap over my shoulder, and when I catch a fish, I put it in there.
Oh, is that a creel?
Yes, that's a creel.
I loaned that to Mr. Cooper.
Loaned it to Mr. Cooper? Mary, when did you lend my creel to Mr. Cooper?
A few weeks ago. He was going fishing, and he couldn't find his creel, so he stopped by here and asked if he could borrow yours.
And you said yes.
Well, Fred, of course. What's the harm in his borrowing your creel?
Mary, there is no harm in Mr. Cooper borrowing my creel. And there was no harm in Jughead's Uncle Herman borrowing my fishing rod. But what am I running here, a sporting goods store?
But I think...
When I want to go fishing, I want to go fishing. I don't want to start running all over town getting my own equipment back.
Fred Andrews, for pity's sake, stop being so dramatic.
Right.
You don't have to run all over town. So far, you haven't set foot out of this room.
But I...
All you have to do is call Mr. Cooper up, and I'm sure he'll be glad to bring your creel right over. It's just next door.
Oh, me. All right, Mary, all right. I'll call Mr. Cooper.
All right, but I never saw anyone get so excited over nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Mary, you call that nothing? Why, if I... Dummy, what's the use? You can't argue with a woman. Operator, get me Riverdale 674.
Never saw anyone get so excited over nothing, she says.
Sometimes I... Hello, Betty. This is Mr. Andrews. May I speak to your father?
Oh, he isn't home, Mr. Andrews.
Isn't home? Well, he has something of mine that I need right away.
Oh, what is it?
A creel.
A creel? Oh, a fishing creel?
That's right, Betty. He borrowed it a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago? Oh, when he went fishing!
Yes, Betty, that's usually when you borrow a creel. So would you mind...
Oh, sure, I remember Mr. Andrews, and golly, was he ever lucky that day.
Yes, but would you bring...
He caught more fish than I ever saw before.
Yes, but would you bring...
Three big ones.
Chris, would you bring...
We had them for supper, and they were delicious.
Betty!
Yes, Mr. Andrews?
Your father's fishing triumphs are very interesting. But if you don't mind, I'd rather try my own luck than hear about his. So would you please bring my creel over here?
Oh, golly, sure, Mr. Andrews. I'll bring it right over.
All right, Betty. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Mr. Andrews. Bye.
Goodbye. Oh, that Betty. Sometimes I think she's as bad as... Oh, great. Now what?
Hello.
Oh, good grief. Jughead.
Who'd you expect? Willie the Whale?
No, Jughead, I did not expect Willie the Whale or you either. Come in.
I brought you fishing rod.
Oh, good. Thanks, Jughead.
My Uncle Herman says thanks a lot.
It's all right, Jughead.
And he sure had good luck with it.
Yes, Jughead.
He caught dozens and dozens of fish.
Yes, Jughead.
I never saw such beauty. Some were as big as this.
Jughead.
And they were delicious. We had them for supper.
Jughead, all right. So everybody in town has had great luck with my fishing equipment. But why do I have to stand here and listen to it?
Well, why don't you go fishing?
Oh, me. Jughead, it so happens that's what I'm
Dad,
trying
to...
I got one. Oh, fine, Archie.
Hiya, gee whiz, Dad. Isn't this a swell grasshopper? Isn't it a beauty? Isn't it a Lulu?
Looks just like my Uncle Herman.
Jughead, be quiet. And Archie, look. That is undoubtedly the loveliest, most beautiful specimen of grasshopper ever brought into captivity. But will you please quit waving it around? Go put it in a jar or something.
Fred, here are your sandwiches. Oh, hello, Jughead.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Isn't this a beautiful grasshopper, Mom?
Oh, Archie, take it away.
Well, gee whiz,
get
Mama.
Get it out of here. Get it out.
Mary, I don't
It'll get loose and you'll never catch
Mary,
it.
Mary, I don't
In the food or in our bed or something.
Mary!
Will you stop getting hysterical over a harmless little grasshopper?
Well, wouldn't you get hysterical if Archie shoved that grasshopper right under your nose?
He did, and I didn't. Stop getting so excited over nothing.
Fred, it's not nothing. What's he doing with a grasshopper in here anyway?
It's bait.
Bait? For fishing?
Yes, for fishing.
Oh, for pity's sake. Fred, I'll certainly be happier when you actually get started on that fishing trip.
Mary, believe me, so will I. But I'll never get started if I have to stop and argue with everybody around here.
I'm not arguing.
Jug, be quiet.
Well, I'll go get a box for you to keep your sandwiches in.
Well, I'm glad that's settled. Now I better find my fishing boots or I'll never get out of here.
Fishing boots?
Yes, Archie, my high wading boots. At least I know where they are, in the closet. Just saw them there.
Dad.
Yes, Archie?
You remember the other day when it was raining so hard?
Yes.
And I couldn't find my rubbers?
Yes.
And I had to run over to Betty's?
Yes.
And you said I could wear your fishing boots?
Yes.
Well, while I was running, I split one of them.
Well, good. I owes you split one of them. Archie, you didn't.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good grief, Archie. How am I going to go fishing in no wading boots?
If you stay in shallow water, you can use my galoshes.
Doug, be quiet.
Gee, was that I know.
Know what?
Veronica's father has a beautiful pair of new wading boots.
Yeah, well, what good does that do?
He does?
Uh-huh. And I bet if I called Veronica, she'd lend me her father's boots.
Well, now, that's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Call her right now, Archie.
Okay, Dad. Operator, get me Riverdale 318, please. I hope Veronica's home, Dad.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't
Hello?
Want to... Hello, Veronica. This is Archie.
Hello, Archie.
So funny because you can hear the studio audience, you know. It was a bunch of kids in the studio audience for these shows because it was a kid's show. I mean, it was like a teenage show.
I think that's what Riverdale is right now, isn't that?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of appeals
it's
to
a drama.
Crowd.
It's a there's murder. It's a murder mystery type of thing. It's not a comedy at all. No. But it is aimed at teens.
Yep.
Really interesting how you can take characters and play them different ways, as Riverdale does. Hope you're enjoying this episode of Archie Andrews from 1949. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Roger looks like a red M&M up there in the camera. So
well, he's wearing red, but where's the M&M part?
Well, his body looks like a...
What, like an M&M. What are you talking about?
They don't melt in your hands, though. That's a good thing about them.
About M&M?
Yeah.
Really? M&M's are good frozen.
I love M&M's.
They're really good frozen.
I like the peanut ones.
I just like the plain chocolate, but did you ever try eating them from the freezer?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good?
It's better
Still
that
the
way.
Best candy in the world is a Chunky. Right, Roger, you like Chunkies?
Chunky.
No.
Do you like a Chunky?
I like Chunky.
Oh, Chunkies are there.
No.
Oh.
What's my favorite, Carl?
I know. Yeah. What's your favorite? You like licorice, don't you?
Not that much.
Okay. You like dark chocolate?
I do.
All right.
I like Junior Mints.
Oh, those are...
That's right. Ugh.
Oh, Junior Mints
awesome.
Are so good.
Very good.
Those are good.
Yeah. Not good.
I got to go to the candy store again for you guys. It's been a while.
Chunky Roger.
Well, you did
also,
a nice job of bringing
you know what else is really
delicious
good?
What?
Little tiny cookies tonight.
Raisinets are good.
Those are the worst.
Sure. Love Raisinets.
Oh, they're great.
Raisins and chocolate.
And you know what?
No.
Dark chocolate Raisinets.
Never had that.
No.
They're very
Raisinets,
healthy.
Raisinets, like cold, are good too. You
no,
know,
I out mean of the frozen.
And then you know
cold.
What's the second best candy in the world?
All right, the third best after
yeah, you're
Raisin
already at one
turtle.
Two.
You know what a turtle is
yeah,
or a pixie?
Of course we know what the turtles
okay, well,
are.
Sometimes they call them pixies, sometimes
yeah.
they call them turtles. It's like Smith Smythe.
Did I not bring you those from Florida when I
they
went on vacation?
They were amazing.
So
I mean,
next time
I just
you
like
go on vacation.
Fannie Mae turtles. They're amazing. I love those. But
now that you've made the entire audience
gosh,
hungry for candy.
Man,
right, we're all drooling
candy.
I know,
here.
Really.
How did we get on that? Oh, because I called you an M&M. Oh, man. Hey, you know what, Roger?
Say what,
are you
Carl?
Getting ready for the cruise? Are you gonna? You said you'd carry our bags for a cabin?
Yeah, I would carry them. Are they going to throw me off the boat before it takes
you know
off,
what?
Though?
His bags are so heavy, you won't even be able to lift them.
The bags under
so
his
much.
Eyes are pretty heavy, too.
That's
yeah.
true.
So, yeah, August 1st, 2020,
yeah, look at
we
that.
Are setting sail for Bermuda. out of New York City, and a whole bunch of our listeners are going to go with.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, right, Lisa?
It sure is. We are going on Oceana Cruises, which is a really, really, you know, fancy, dancy, hoity-toity cruise line. You know why?
Because
we know how to do it right, which fits nothing. Don't go there.
Lisa's hoity-toity.
Fits nothing. But we got a really great price, so why shouldn't we get the best of the best?
We got a huge group rate.
At a great...
savings.
At a huge group rate savings.
Savings, yeah.
So we are going to go to Bermuda, and we're going to go... the ship is called Insignia. It's 7 nights, like you said, August 1st of 2020. And, you know, Bermuda's a really interesting place. I've done a little bit of research on there. I've never been there before.
Very cool.
But there's a lot to do, a lot to see there. And there's so much to do on the ship. You can, you know, choose to do these shore excursions.
I'll be in the casino.
Or you can, you know, you can choose to stay back and hang out at the pool or the spa or the sauna or the casino or one of the many open seating restaurants or the fitness center or the lounges. You can go to the lounge, you can hang at the casino, or you could just hang out at the pool and get a spray tan before you leave.
Well, we're going to start things off with like a cocktail party to get to know each other.
Oh, I already know you planning.
We're going to, with our listeners, we're going to eat every single night with you guys. It'll be fun. We'll I'm not, you know, I kind of can be a messy eater, though. You might not want to sit right next to me.
No problem. I'll be across the room. Don't worry.
And we're going to just hang with all of our listeners and just have a lot of fun. And then we're going to have a reenactment, radio reenactment, so you can be in a radio broadcast. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So this is
trivia contest.
Yeah, this is a real dual purpose. We're going to, you know, set sail and relax and have fun. And we're also going to have a lot of time to just be with our listeners and get to know each other and just, you know, have a great time.
So, yeah. So come sail with us.
Yeah. We really like you
too.
Come
sail away.
Come sail away.
Come sail away. Come and sail away with me.
So this is through Keen Luxury Travel. They are travel agents. It's K-E-E-N-E, Luxury Travel. I'll give you their phone number. It's 800-856-1155. Or you can visit WGNRadiotheater.com and you can click through until you find the cruise banner.
Yeah.
Click right on the banner and it'll give you,
all
take you just
info.
To the right place.
Give the 800 number one more time.
Sure. 800-856-1155.
Look into it, folks. We'd love you to be with us when we go to Bermuda August 1st next year.
About
a year from now.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So cruise with us. Now, let's tune in to the conclusion to Archie Andrews.
Oh, fine.
Hi, you all Archiekins.
Oh, great.
It's awful good to hear your voice, Archie.
Archie, if something's tickling you, scratch it. Ask her about the boots.
Oh, okay, Dad, okay. Veronica.
Yes, Archie.
Veronica, could I borrow your father's fishing boots for my father?
Fishing boots? Why, of course, Archie. I'll bring them right over.
Okay, Veronica. Thanks a million. Goodbye.
Bye, Archie.
What'd she say, Archie?
Oh, she said she'd bring them right over.
Oh, that's fine, fine. Now, as soon as Betty gets here with that creel and Veronica brings the boots over, maybe I'll get to go fishing yet. So you go on out and catch some more of those grasshoppers so I can have them.
Here's a shoebox.
Shoebox? Mary, what do I need a shoebox for?
To put those sandwiches in.
What sandwiches?
The sandwiches I made for you to take along on your fishing trip, of course.
Mary, I know that, but where are they?
Where are they? Fred, I put them down right... Jughead.
Miss Andrew?
Jughead, what are you eating?
Sandwich and ketchup.
Oh, great.
Gee whiz, Jughead, that's my father's sandwich.
It was. Jughead, do you mean to say you just saw some sandwiches and helped yourself to them?
I thought that's what they were there for.
Oh, for pity's sake. Jughead, you might have...
Now, Mary, don't start crying over spilled sandwiches. He's eaten them and there's not much we can do about it. I don't want to waste time while you lecture Jughead on his manners. Just make me some more sandwiches. I want to go fishing.
All right, Fred, all right. I'll make some more, but see that nobody eats them this time.
Well, this time, put them where Jughead won't get them.
Gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Andrews.
Jughead, it's all right. But for Pete's sake, you and Archie go on out and catch me some more grasshoppers, or I'll never get started on that trip.
Okay, Dad, come on, Jug.
I am.
Oh, that Jughead. Sometimes I wonder if he isn't the first cousin to... Oh, no. Isn't that thing ever going to stop ringing?
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Mr. Warren. Come in.
Thanks, Mr. Andrews. Say, what's the shoebox for?
Huh? Oh, this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm theoretically going on a little fishing trip this afternoon, Mr. Warren. Mm-hmm. And my wife is theoretically making me some sandwiches for lunch on the trip. Mm-hmm. And the sandwiches are theoretically going into this shoebox.
Oh, I see. Well, I have a great suggestion, Mr. Andrews. And there's nothing theoretical about it.
For catching fish?
No, for putting the finishing touches to the perfect lunch.
What's that?
Just have Mrs. Andrews put in plenty of those luscious Kraft Dairy Fresh caramels for dessert.
Mmm, that's not a bad idea.
You bet it isn't. Those tasty, tantalizing Kraft caramels make a grand dessert. They're ideal for a box lunch.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course I am.
Yep.
Pack a couple of the 6-piece bars or the big, economical 1-pound bag in with the lunch, and you'll have a real taste treat waiting for you.
Mm-mm.
And especially on a fishing trip, Mr. Andrews,
damn,
Kraft Dairy Fresh caramels will give you all the quick energy and nutrition you need to pull in the big ones.
Yep.
That's because they're not only good, but good for you. Made with fresh sweet milk and the finest ingredients money can buy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So be sure to tell Mrs. Andrews that you want some of those bite-sized, chewy, soft Kraft Dairy Fresh caramels. The candy treat that can't be beat.
Mr. Warren, I'll do that right now.
All right, Mr. Andrews, I'll run along now. And good fishing to you.
Thanks, Mr. Warren. Boy, that was a good idea. I'll tell Mary about it. Oh, great. Now what?
Hello, Mr. Andrews. I brought the Creole.
Oh, Betty, good. I'm glad Betty, is that it?
Uh-huh. Here you are, Mr. Andrews.
Betty.
Yes, Mr. Andrews?
Betty, I don't mean to confuse you, but this is not a creel.
It isn't?
No, Betty, this is a reel.
A reel?
Uh-huh, Betty, a reel.
And you wanted a creel?
Yes, Betty, a creel.
And a reel's not the same as a creel?
No, Betty. A reel is not a creel.
Golly. Somehow I still feel a reel's really a creel.
Oh, no. Betty, look. I can't help how you feel, but a reel is made of steel. And a reel is a deal to hold a trout or an eel.
An eel? Golly, who'd make a meal of an eel?
Oh, no. Betty, look. This is my last appeal to stop talking about reels, creels, and eels. Before I start to squeal.
Okay, Mr. Andrews, I won't say another word. I'll take this creel home and bring back a reel.
Oh, great, Betty, you got it backwards. You'll take this reel home and bring me a creel.
Creel, reel, what's the difference as long as I bring back the gadget you want?
Well, you got something there, but hurry up. I want to get started on my trip.
Okay, Mr. Andrews, I'll be right back.
Oh, that Betty. Say, I better check the reel on that fishing pole, make sure it's in good shape. Let me see now. You're great, great. Just look at that line, all snarled up. Good thing I decided to check it.
Mr. Andrews?
Yes, Jughead?
Archie wants to know how many grasshoppers you want him to catch.
Oh, great. As many as he can, Jughead. But, Jughead?
Yes?
Just what did your Uncle Herman use this reel for? Catching sea serpents?
Why? Is it broken?
No, Jughead, but the line is not only all snarled up, but it's wound on crooked.
Oh, that. I guess I did that.
You did?
Uh-huh. After my Uncle Herman got back from fishing, I used the line to fly my kite.
Oh, no! Jughead, how could you be so dumb?
It was easy.
Jughead, never mind the joke. I better just get to work and unravel this line, or I'll never get going.
I know a good way to fix it, Mr. Andrews.
What is the good way?
Well, I'll hold one end of the line while you walk back into the living room until you have it all straightened out, and then you reel it in again.
Well, Jughead, that's not a bad idea. Here, you hold the line while I back up and unwind it.
Okay.
Good. Now hold it tight.
I will.
All right. Now I'll back up.
Careful of that table, Mr. Andrews.
I see it, Jughead.
Careful of that chair, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, I see it.
Look out for the lamp, Mr. Andrews.
I see it, Jug. Well, there we are, Jughead. Got the line all stretched out straight.
You see? I told you it was a good idea.
Yeah, it was. Now, you just hold the line taut while I reel it in, and everything will be
oh,
over.
Oh, Dad, what happened to Jughead?
Oh, I forgot about that. Ah! Oh! Archie, I told you to look out. Did you hurt yourself?
I sure didn't do myself any good. Oh, my nose.
Gee whiz, didn't you see the line, Archie?
I sure didn't. And what's the line doing there anyway?
Archie,
here I'm trying to catch grasshoppers for you, Dad, and then you trip me up with a line.
Archie,
my nose feels like it's broken.
What feels like it's broken?
My nose.
Your nose?
Yeah.
Archie, what happened to your nose?
He sat on it.
Doug, be quiet.
Oh, my nose.
Now, Archie, take your hand away from it and let me see it.
Okay, but it sure hurts.
Oh, dear, it's all swollen. Fred, I better call the doctor.
Doctor, just because he bumped his nose?
Mom, I don't need a doctor. I just
Archie, you keep out of this. Fred, it may be just a bump, as you say, but maybe it's broken.
Mary, his nose isn't broken. He just...
Fred, I just want to make sure. A broken nose is a serious thing.
Sure. He's got to do a lot of smelling with that nose.
Doug, be quiet. Mary,
I'll call the doctor right now.
Mary, you're making a mountain out of a nose. Oh, great. Jughead, will you answer that bell?
Okay, Mr. Andrews. Gee whiz, Dad. Maybe my nose is broken. It's wobbling.
Archie, your nose always wobbled. And it isn't
Veronica,
any...
Veronica, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, fine. Hello, Veronica.
Hello, Mr. Andrews. I brought the wading boots. My goodness, Archie, why are you holding your nose?
Because I just fell on it.
Fred, I called the doctor and he said he'd be right over it. Oh, hello, Veronica.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Mary, I tell you, there was no reason to call the doctor for a little...
Oh, dear. Jughead, answer that, please.
Okay, Mrs. Andrews.
How did Archie fall on his nose?
He tripped over my fishing line, Veronica, and broke it in half.
His nose?
No, my fishing line.
No, Fred, is this any time to worry about a fishing line?
It's Betty, Mrs. Andrews.
Oh, great.
Hello, Mr. Andrews. I brought the real creel this time, and... Archie, what happened?
I fell on my nose.
Golly, how'd you do that?
He tripped on a fishing line.
Veronica, what are you doing here?
Well, if you must know, I brought Miss Andrews my father's wading boots.
Came over to see Archie, you
know. Now,
mean.
Now, girls, just a minute. We have enough trouble right now without you two getting into any hair-pulling matches. So before this goes any further, Betty, I want you to stand right where you are and not move for anything. Do you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
And Veronica, I want you to go over to that couch and sit down.
But I only...
Veronica, I said sit down and stay seated.
Well, all right.
What was that?
Your fishing rod.
Oh, well, all right. For a minute, I thought it was you, my fishing rod. Veronica, did you break my fishing rod?
Fred, you told her to sit down there yourself.
Mary, I...
Golly, it sure is broken.
Betty, I...
How are you going to go fishing now, Dad?
Archie,
use
I...
Use a spear like they do in Hawaii.
Jughead, just be...
I'm awful sorry, Mr. Andrews.
Now, just a minute here. Just 1 minute. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad. Uh-huh.
Jug, be quiet. Now, evidently, I made a serious mistake when I decided to go fishing half an hour ago. I assumed that I could go fishing when I wanted to, just like millions of men do. But I was wrong. In this house, nobody does anything like other people do.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad. Oh, I don't know.
Jughead, be quiet. My efforts to go fishing have caused only trouble and more trouble until now my fishing line is torn, my fishing rod is broken, and Archie has a bump on his nose. So it is quite obvious that I'd better quit trying to go fishing right now before the house burns down or somebody gets killed. So let's all forget about my fishing trip. You kids can just go on home, and I'll spend the rest of the afternoon quietly reading my newspaper. You're fine.
Jughead, answer that, please.
Okay, Mrs. Andrews.
Now, I hope that settles that. Veronica, you take those fishing boots and
go... Is the doctor, Mr. Andrews?
Well, hello, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, hello,
Mrs.
Dr.
Andrews.
Dr.
Well, now, what seems to be the trouble?
There's lots of trouble, Doctor, but all you have to worry about is Archie.
That's enough.
Jug, be quiet.
Archie, what's wrong with Archie?
He tripped a few minutes ago and fell on his nose.
Oh, I see. Well, let's have a look at that nose, Archie. Where does it hurt?
Right here.
Is that the only place?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't hurt here at all?
Nope.
Oh, is it serious, Doctor?
No, Mrs. Andrews, not at all. From what I can make out, the boy just has a simple bruise and he'll be fine by tomorrow.
Gee whiz.
You see, Mary, I told you there was no reason to call the doctor. I told you Archie was all right. I said...
Yes, Archie's all right, Mr. Andrews, but you're not.
Yes, I... Huh?
That's right. Your nerves certainly seem to be in bad shape.
My nerves? Oh, Doc, that's just because I'm a little upset about
this. It doesn't matter what you're upset about, Mr. Andrews. I've told you time and time again that with your blood pressure, you mustn't get too excited.
Yeesh. Yeah. You did say that.
So I insist, Mr. Andrews, for your own good, that you listen and obey my orders.
Well, sure, Doc. What do you want me to do?
I want you to relax, Mr. Andrews, right now. And there's nothing that I can recommend more than that you take the rest of the day off and go out and go fishing.
Do a little... I go fishing. I think I've been trying to go all night.
And now, back to the Andrews. It's later that same day, and peace and quiet have been restored to the Andrews household.
Well, Mary, I've decided to take the doctor's advice after all and go fishing.
Oh, but Fred,
yes, sir, I'm leaving all the fancy stuff at home. Take along a hook and a line. I'll cut myself a fish pole when I get out there. That way I'm sure to have a nice, peaceful time. Probably catch more fish that way.
But Fred,
Well, Mary, what is it?
You can't go fishing now. Archie took the car for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, no.
To another transcribed chapter of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Jampel, and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie is played by Bob Hastings, Jughead by Harlan Stone, Mom and Dad Andrews are played by Alice Yorman and Arthur Q. Bryan. Veronica and Betty are played by Gloria Mann and Rosemary Rice, and the doctor was Eric Dressler. Music is by George Wright. This program is produced and directed by Kenneth McGregor. Listen next Wednesday night when Kraft Caramels, Kraft Malted Milk, and Frizz again brings you Archie Andrews. Bob Orr speaking. So long!
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's Archie Andrews, August 24th, 1949, starring Bob Hastings. Hope you enjoyed that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, in this hour, gangbusters, but right now we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yep, we're going to go back to that, and we're going to do a little Kevin Bacon. The prize is general admission for two adults and two children to Sycamore Speedway, and we're going to go with caller number 3. So call right now, 312-981-7200, and we will be right back. Come on, baby, let's get ridiculous. All right, we're going to talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. So glad you're caller number 3. We're going to get right to Kevin Bacon. You ready, Carl?
Yeah.
Terrific number 1.
Yeah, it's making me hungry.
The bacon?
Yeah.
Or with the junior mints that we talked about?
No, bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich okay. Would be right, really good right about now.
All right, number 1. He not only starred in the 1980 film Friday the 13th, but he also co-produced the film. Real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Number 2. He performs in a band with his brother called Bring Home the Bacon. Real or ridiculous?
Real.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. What's the band called?
Bacon Brothers.
The Bacon Brothers.
All right, so this is for Chris. Sorry, Chris.
So close, though.
I told you she's sneaky.
I had to think of something with the bacon.
She's sneaky,
Bring
man.
Home the bacon. Okay, number 3. In 1995, Empire Magazine rated him as one of the 100 sexiest stars in Hollywood.
Was that the same year that they voted me that, too?
No, you were much earlier.
Oh,
you were back
I?
In the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
That was your prime.
Sure was, Lisa.
Oh, I know. Okay. Too bad I didn't know you then.
Oh, what are you going to do?
What do you think, guys?
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's real.
I think it's real, too.
I think it's real, too. It is real. All right. Well, you guys did a great job. And, Chris, you are the winner because you have won general admission for two adults and two children to Sycamore Speedway, family-owned since 1963. Plan your visit now at sycamorespeedway.com. Thank you so much for calling and playing. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. All right, so it is time now for Gangbusters. This was a government drama. It was created by Phillips H. Lord way back in 1935. It was known as the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Now, of course, there were others after Gangbusters that kind of took that same idea, yeah, you know, where they took real stories and dramatized them. Of course, This Is Your FBI, Dragnet. There was a lot of different shows, Tales of the Texas Rangers. But this was the first one, Lisa. And they dramatized FBI closed cases in association with the bureau director himself, J. Edgar Hoover. Then J. Edgar Hoover was a big fan of this show, and he kind of was sort of an emeritus to it. He made sure everything was just right. He wanted to make sure the FBI always looked great on this show. It aired all the way until 1957. Then a TV version premiered in 1952, hosted for a time by Chester Morris. Chester Morris, of course, played Boston Blackie in the movies, in the Columbia Pictures, and he played him on radio for one season. But right now it's time for Gangbusters. This is called The Tennessee Triggermen. It stars Ted DeCorsia from June 19, 1948. Here is part one now of Gangbusters.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case history.
Gangbusters presents the case of the Tennessee Triggermen, who are skilled at kidnapping and bank robbery, but have found their secret exposed by the glove compartment of a getaway car.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Garner Robinson, Sheriff of Davidson County, Tennessee, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Sheriff Robinson, before we begin tonight's case, I think the Gangbusters audience would like to know that later in the program, we will hear from the Des Moines young woman who recognized a dangerous fugitive from the description given on a Gangbusters clue and was responsible for his apprehension.
I'm anxious to hear it myself, Don Gardner. You know, the alertness of Gangbusters listeners in helping apprehend these fugitives is really amazing. It's a tremendous help to us law enforcement officers.
Thank you, Sheriff Robinson. Now, I know that the Gangbusters case tonight involves a problem on which police officials must make frequent and difficult decisions. Well, how does tonight's case relate to this problem, Sheriff Robinson?
According to our records, Don, the first pertinent event occurred early this year in the city of Flint, Michigan. About 10 o'clock one evening, a young woman opened the door to the Hillside Cafe, a bar. She stepped inside, closed the door, and looked around. After a moment, she walked through the crowd to a table in the corner where another woman, a few years older, sat alone.
Hello, Stella.
Oh. You got your bag packed?
No. Not yet, Stella.
Well, don't stand there. Sit down. You want something to drink?
Stella, what do you think?
About what?
About going.
Give me a chance to get out of this town and I'm going. There's nothing here for me but misery.
Well, I'm not so happy myself, you know.
But your bag isn't packed.
It's different with you. You've known Andy Motes a long time. You know the kind of fellow he is and everything. I haven't been out with Chuck but only once.
He thinks enough of you to ask you along, doesn't he?
Sure, but...
What's the matter? Don't you like him? He looks all right to me.
Oh, I like him, I guess. I'm afraid...
Afraid of what? Keep wise to yourself, honey. You never get any place being afraid. Okay, here's your chance.
Supposing it doesn't work like we want it to.
Then we'll come back. What do we got to lose?
Sure, you can say that. But if I leave, I've got to stay away. Worse than ever when I came back. You know something? Chuck's sort of a funny guy.
I never noticed.
I didn't like him at first. He looked so mean.
He turned out all right, didn't he?
Sure. But he still looks mean. Like it wouldn't take much to make him mad.
I don't think you have to worry.
Oh, gee. I'd sure like to go.
Then why don't you? What are you debating?
All right. All right, I will.
Now you're thinking straight. Go on home and get packed. I'll call the boys and tell them we're ready.
telephone, Chuck.
Well, go on, answer.
You're closer.
Go on, will you?
Yeah.
Every time I sit down. Oh, it's a barber shop.
You never stayed at a hotel with a barber shop?
I'm looking forward to the day.
Who is it?
It's Stella. Hiya, baby.
Chuck's there, huh?
Yeah. How'd you make out?
She'll go along.
Okay, that solves everything.
What'd she say, Moats? Lucy going with us?
Just a second, Stella. Yeah, Lucy's going. Stella says so.
Okay, make it snappy. We've got work to do.
Yeah. Hello, Stella. I gotta make it snappy.
Hey, look, I'm telling you right now, honey, I don't like the idea.
Who does?
If it don't work, it's no skin off my back.
It'll be okay, baby.
Yeah, well, I'm going now to get Lucy. Where do we meet you?
Just a second. Hey, Chuck, she wants to know where to meet us.
Tell her to get the black sedan off the lot.
Get the black sedan off the lot, baby.
Yeah.
Drive out the old hollow road, wait at the spot I showed her.
Drive out the old hollow road and wait at the spot Chuck showed you.
Okay, what time?
What time, Chuck?
Between midnight and a quarter after.
Between midnight and a quarter after, baby.
All right. We'll all be there. The sedan and Lucy and Lucy's nursemaid.
Aw, babe.
Come on, will you?
We gotta go, Stella. I'll see you.
So long.
Come on, let's get moving.
Just a second, Chuck.
Come on.
Stella don't like the idea of Lucy.
Well, that makes us even. I don't like the idea of Stella.
Aw, Chuck, how can you say that? She's my baby. I leave her here. It's like cutting off my pitching arm.
Look, we made a bargain. No Lucy, no Stella.
Well, at least Stella is wise. She knows what's going on. She knows what we're after. But this Lucy's liable to be a problem.
Then she'll be my problem. Come on. The guy closes the store in 20 minutes.
Wait a minute, will you? When she starts asking questions, what are you going to say? What are you going to tell her? You're a traveling salesman or something?
I'm not going to say a thing, and neither are you and neither is Stella. We stick up this guy tonight, we throw him into the car, we take him along till we meet the girls, then we dump him. Let Lucy think what she wants. But the first crack out of you or out of Stella, and the whole deal's off. Is that straight?
Why do you need a dang
Is
like
it to... straight?
Yeah, it's straight.
Okay. Well, let's go out and make some traveling expenses.
Stella, they said a little after midnight.
Yeah? How much after midnight is it?
Are you sure they said the old hollow road here?
They'll be along, Lucy. Don't worry. You want some music? These new models got good radios.
No. I'd hate to have to go home now.
I told you they'd be here.
Well, I hope so. You have any idea where we're going?
I don't know. South, I guess.
Why?
What difference does it make? We're going.
This is a funny place for them to meet us. What's the matter with back in town?
Hey, look, honey, let's get something settled. If you're going to be a question box this whole trip, we got to come to an understanding right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stella. It's just that I'm kind of...
Wait. Car.
Is it them?
I think so. Yeah, it's them.
Who's that other man in the car with them?
I don't know, honey. And I wouldn't ask.
Why not?
There you go with the questions again. Here's Chuck. And I'm glad to see him.
I am glad.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Chuck.
Well, sweetheart, you all set to travel?
Sure, I guess so.
Go on, Lucy, we'll ride in the back. Moats will drive.
All right, Chuck.
The suitcases are in the trunk, Chuck.
Good. Well, that guy will keep for a while, Chuck. Get in and drive.
Okay.
You're going to like this stuff, Lucy.
I sure hope so.
I'm going to show you the best time you ever had in your life. Yep. We're off.
Yeah? To a bigger and fuller life.
Chuck.
Yeah, kiddo?
Who was that other man?
What other man?
You know, in the car you came in.
You're a little bit mixed up, Lucy. There was no other man.
Oh, but Chuck, I saw him with my... Okay.
Now, here. We might as well start off right. I'm going to give you a little pocket money, so you won't have to run to me for knickknacks.
Oh, gee, thanks, Chuck.
Well, look at it close.
Why, it's $100.
And all in one piece.
Oh, gee, I never saw a $100 bill before, except in the movies. And they're not real. Thanks, Chuck.
Oh, what do I get for it?
A kiss, you mean?
Yeah, I mean.
All right. Yeah.
We're off to a great start, kiddo. I like you around. Just stay like you are, and you can be around for a long time. I got big plans.
In business, you mean?
Yeah, kiddo. In business. Awful big plans.
I got some big plans too, Lisa.
Oh, I know you do, Carl.
Big,
you just keep
big
them to yourself,
plans.
Carl.
That's the first portion of Gangbusters with the case of the Tennessee Triggermen with Ted DeCorsia. And you know, you hear the quality of that show. That's a direct from a master recording, the Archie Andrews shows. And prior to that, we listened to The Six Shooter, all of which were from direct 16-inch transcription discs. We licensed these shows directly from the rights holders, and we get the discs, and then we do a transfer. We have a couple of labs that we use in L.A., one in New York, one in L.A., and they do a transfer. And then Mike Gastella has a toolkit of all kinds of digital processing. We make these shows sound amazing. They probably sound better than when they first aired. And that's the shows that we use in the Classic Radio Club. So if you are a fan of Classic Radio and you want them to be in really good quality so you can understand and hear everything they're saying, because, you know, there's other companies out there that play Classic Radio or sell Classic Radio, but they don't have the master recordings and they don't have the sound quality we have. So we formed a club called the Classic Radio Club, and you can join and get 10 amazing quality classic radio shows sent to you each and every month. Every month, 10 shows plus liner notes. Right, Lisa?
Right. And I was going to say, if you are debating about joining for yourself or sending a gift for someone else as a membership, now is the time to do it, because we have a special going on right now that's only $1 for the first month. And you're not going to beat that. It's never going to be less than $1 for the first month. So this is your golden opportunity to give it a shot, whether it's for you or whether it's for a gift. What a great gift that is, to send somebody a gift that continues every single month.
Right.
So, you know, whether it's a birthday or anniversary or just on account of, because those are the best kind of gifts, actually.
Yeah, especially if they like, you know, audio books. Maybe they're an audio book lover or a classic radio lover. These are amazing. And they get sent to you on 5 CDs in a collector case each and every month. Or you can get 10 shows sent via digital download and the liner notes in that way as well. And you can cancel at any time. This is not like you join and you're hooked into it. It's nothing like that. If you want to cancel, just cancel. And then we stop sending you the CDs or the digital downloads. But it's all at our website at ClassicRadioClub.com, ClassicRadioClub.com. We hope you'll check it out. Right now, a quick commercial break. Then it's more, well, we'll have news and then Gangbusters. Stick around. Hey, don't forget, Lisa Wolf, you know what? You and I and a whole bunch of our listeners are going on a cruise.
We are. We are going to Bermuda.
We're going to Bermuda. We're going to sail away. Come sail away.
That should
away.
Be our theme song.
Come and
that
sail
sticks.
Away with me.
That sticks.
It is?
It is.
I think it is. I think you're right.
Thanks, Carl.
I think it is Styx. I saw Styx in concert once at the Rosemont Horizon.
1970s.
They changed now. They're not called the Rosemont Horizon anymore.
No.
They're something else. Allstate Center or something like that. But, I saw a lot of concerts there, Rosemont Horizon, Elton John, Billy Joel, the Rolling Stones, Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah. When I was younger, I saw a lot of bands.
When you were in your prime,
in the
70s.
Yeah, 60, 70 years ago when I was 20. We're going on a cruise, so we'd love you to join us, folks. Mark it down on your calendar, August 1st, 2020. So about a year from now, we will be sailing away. We're taking off out of New York, and it's to Bermuda, St. George, and then what was the other one? St. George and Hamilton.
That's right.
Right?
That is correct.
Two
islands over there. And what we did not mention last time we talked about it, we did mention we have a great group price because we are on a fancy-dancy Oceania cruise, and the name of the ship is called Insignia, but the price starts at $11.99.
Can you imagine? That's 7 nights.
Seriously, that's 7 nights. It includes gratuities. It includes Wi-Fi, and it includes this O-Life choice promotion. You can choose some shore excursions, a beverage, large package onboard credit. But in either event, really, it's a really, really good deal. If you shop around, you'll find out that this is truly a great deal.
Right.
And Carl and I will be there, and we would love to have you being a part of this
cruise. And, you know, I'm like a foodie. I like good food. And I am told that Oceania is supposed to be the best with the food. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Right.
I'm hungry.
I know you. I can tell.
I wish I was on that Oceania cruise right now. And Insignia is completely remodeled. It's like a brand new ship. They've just remodeled it. It's going to be amazing. We want you to come along with us. What's the 800 number,
folks? 800-856-1155.
Right. Or go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, and just scroll down. You'll see a banner for the cruise. Click that. Takes you right to the website. All of the information's there. Call and reserve your cabin. It's going to go quick. And a year flies by.
It does.
Flies by. Right?
Yes.
So
it does.
Come with us.
Come with us. Come sail away.
Come on a cruise with us.
We're going to Bermuda.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Roger Badish. It is 1:37 in the morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. And when we come back here tonight, well, actually, Lisa is going on vacation.
She's
not going to be here.
Just for a few days. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be here today. But I can still tell you what you're going to play, even though I won't be listening.
What am I going to play without you here?
You are going to play the Jack Benny program, which is one of my favorites, and Broadway is my beat. I'm going to Arizona for a few days just to relax, and then I'll be back.
Man, it must be nice to be rich.
Yeah, I don't know, but it must be.
I wish I was as rich as Lisa.
I wish I knew what it was
like
to be rich.
Wish I could take off work all the time.
All the time.
Go on vacation.
All the
time. Drive around in a private jet.
I'm pretty sure the next time.
Fly around in a private jet.
The next time I'll be taking off will probably be Christmas. So
you'll find something else.
Probably.
You'll figure out something else.
I'll work on it.
Some other place to go.
I'll see if I can come up with something.
She's got a fleet of cars. I drive a Yugo.
But you just had your Yugo detail.
It's clean.
Didn't
yeah, it's clean.
It's going to smell great
1978
inside.
Yugo. She's got a Maybach. She's got a Rolls.
Honestly, I think the Yugos came out in 80 or 81.
Well, mine was a prototype.
Okay. You got it. You got in a little bit early.
She has a Maserati.
I just got the new 2020 Corvette.
Yeah, she's got a Corvette.
There's a new brand new one coming out.
I know.
Out. Yeah.
I know.
I got it.
And she
Got
has
it.
A McLaren, and she has a Jaguar, or Jaguar, however they say
Jaguar.
It. A Jaguar.
Don't forget about my Maserati.
And then she has an Audi. She has all kinds of great cars.
I do. I have an Audi R8.
Wow,
it's a
man.
Pretty cool
she's
car.
Got, she's got, you name
it's
it.
It's a convertible. Do you like convertibles?
Yeah. she's got, what else do you have? Mercedes.
I have a Tesla. That's my favorite
Volvo.
Car. The Tesla is the best because it drives itself.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
It's a smart car.
It's funny. if I had a Tesla, Lisa, you wouldn't be so nervous in the car. You should have seen her today driving here.
You should have seen him
you
today driving
seen this.
Here. You were driving
You should have
too
seen
fast.
Lisa today in the car. I
because
wish I had
it was
a camera.
Crowded and you were
I
driving
need to have a
really cam- fast.
You know what? We should do a Facebook Live. You should
we
see
should.
What she does in the car.
Okay.
She's
Who is she?
Panicking.
Who is she? Who are you talking
time.
To?
I'm driving. I'm just driving.
No,
I'm
you're
driving
not just
in my
driving.
Yugo.
How fast were you driving?
Yugo.
How fast were you driving tonight?
I was not speeding.
I don't believe you.
I don't speed. I'm not a scofflaw.
Maybe just a little bit.
I was maybe going 2 miles over.
Maybe two.
And she's like,
or so. You're flying.
This is how she makes these sounds.
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah,
all the cars are braking. There's construction.
No, I'm not braking.
And we're flying around them on the
That's
left
right.
lane.
You
I was
fly
getting
around
a little nervous.
You don't have to brake. You fly around
yeah,
them.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to brake. That says
this is a live
right
radio
there.
Show. We
you
can't
don't
be late
have
for
to
the
break.
Live radio show.
Oh, we weren't late.
You should have seen her. She was driving. I'm like, you're making me nervous now.
Good. Slow down then.
Gosh, she's a terrible passenger.
You're terrible.
Terrible. If I had a Tesla, though, you would probably be fine with
I
it,
I would
right?
be fine.
Jeez.
Maybe that
it's
should
almost
be your
worth
next car.
Buying a Tesla.
What's
just
the
so
almost
I don't have
part?
To, it's almost worth it buying
it. It is worth it.
Yeah, so I don't have to hear you talk.
I won't do that in the
girl.
Tesla. I won't do that. I promise.
Man,
all right,
chill
work,
out.
Why don't you work
just
on
just
it?
Close your eyes, relax, lay back, just enjoy the ride.
Well, like, go about 20 miles an hour slower and I might be able to do that.
All right, let's get back now to Gangbusters.
So, Don, after obtaining $2,000 in this midnight robbery in Flint, Michigan, Chuck Craig, Andy Motes, and their women companions headed south. The criminals anticipated new crimes, and the women looked forward to the adventure of travel. But all was soon to learn that a car racing bullets is anything but adventure.
You were telling us, Sheriff Robinson, that the criminals Chuck Craig and Andrew Motes pulled a $2,000 robbery in Flint, Michigan, then headed south in the company of the young women Stella and Lucy.
That's right, Don. They drove leisurely through Indiana and Kentucky, carefully looking for hold-up victims. Finally, they arrived in Nashville, Tennessee, where one night the two couples went dancing at one of the largest nightclubs in the South. For Craig and Motes, the nightclubbing was not entirely for pleasure. They were looking the place over with a view toward staging a robbery there later. At the moment, the band had just finished a set of numbers. Waiting for Chuck and Lucy to return from the dance floor, Motes and Stella sat at their table.
All right. So I'm complaining. What do you expect me to do?
Ah, Stella, cut it out, will you?
Oh, what does he think she is? A little angel or something? Lucy can't know this. Don't let Lucy find out that. You ask me, she knows more than the three of us put together, and she's just smart enough to make herself the center of the show.
Look, there's only one thing to worry about. As long as she sticks around, Chuck says you can too. You gotta just... Okay, here they come.
Hey, want you to dancing?
No, honey. I don't get any pleasure out of having this ox walk all over me.
Who's an ox? Did you get a chance to look around the place, Mouse? What kind of a chance? How long have we been here?
Did you spot,
Yeah, he's over at the bar.
Good. Why don't you two girls go powder your nose, huh?
Sure. Come on, Lucy.
Oh, gee, I want to finish my drink.
Come on, honey. Let's powder our nose.
All right.
We'll be back right away.
Okay, Motes. See if you can catch the guy's eye.
Yeah. Yeah, he got it. He's coming over.
How much do you think we can get out of this joint, Motes?
Chuck, look.
What?
Don't you think this Lucy business is going far enough?
What do you mean, far enough?
I mean, either she's with us or she ain't. I can't go peeking around corners to see if she's there before I open my mouth.
I like it the way it is.
Yeah, but why tie ourselves down? Stella says
she's... Who cares what Stella says?
What do you see in this Lucy? She's a blank.
All right, she's a blank, but she's okay for me. I like him that way. Quiet, here he is.
Hi, fellas. What's doing? Anything?
Sit down, Monty.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I didn't want to come over with the dames here.
Well, what about it?
Nothing about it. I've been scouting around, see? I know this Nashville town. Know a lot of people.
All right, so you know a lot of people. What about this joint?
Steer clear of it. It's a bum deal.
That'd be a cinch.
You see, you ask my advice and you know everything.
What's the matter with this place, Monty?
Joint's always full of cops, city guys, deputies, you know. Lots of them come in for a good time when they're off. It's loaded with cops right now.
Yeah?
You'd never make it. Never in a million years.
Okay. And we won't even try.
Smart. Smart.
We're running kind of low, Chuck.
How about a bank? You got anything against banks?
Looks good. We're interested.
This one, you got no trouble.
If it's no trouble, there's no dough.
Plenty, plenty of dough. Come here.
Yeah.
Goodlettsville. You ought to hear Goodlettsville.
Where's that?
Not far in the county. The bank there. Cinch, believe me, a cinch.
I don't believe in cinches.
Four people tops. That's all you got to worry about. Four people. Burglary alarm, yeah. One of them kind that rings downtown. Gives you plenty of time. You can handle a bank like that.
Yeah, we'll look it over.
10% for the finger. 10%.
A deal.
Well, I got to go. I got a date.
Okay.
Well, look it over, huh? Look it over.
We will, Monty.
I'm seeing you around.
How long do you have to be in a racket before you get that way?
Don't worry about him. He knows this town. He's a handy guy to have around.
Yeah, but what about this bank, Chuck? No banks are set up.
Well, it sounds pretty good. If it looks as good as it sounds, we make it.
Dan ought to get it.
Well, yeah, can't you fix the car after breakfast? The table's all set.
Yeah, we might as well wait for Maud. She'll be back any second.
Oh, gee, I hope so. I'm starved. Well, guess I'll go back in the cabin and tell Star.
Wait a minute, Lucy.
Yeah?
Go look in the glove compartment. You'll find another pair of pliers. Get them for me, will you, honey?
Sure. Hey, where did Maud go?
He had something to do.
So early? This glove compartment?
Is there another one?
Well, I want to be sure. You want...
Oh. Well, bring me the pliers. I'm waiting.
I can't, Chuck.
What do you mean you can't?
I didn't know there were guns in there. I'm afraid to touch those guns.
Guns won't bite you.
What do you need them for? I didn't know you had any guns.
Well, we do a lot of traveling, baby. We gotta have them for protection.
Oh.
Now, you just forget about those guns. Ah, there's Mouts.
Whose car's that? Where did he get it?
Well, he borrowed it from a friend in town. We got important business dates this morning. We need two cars.
Oh.
Now, you go on in and tell Stella we'll be ready for breakfast in a minute.
Well, how do you like the new bus? Neat, huh? Hi, Lucy.
Morning. Well, I'll tell Stella you're about ready.
What's eating her? Nothing. Skip it. Now, did you have any trouble?
What kind of trouble? The garage door was open, the keys were in the ignition. I walked in and drove it away.
Okay.
You know, Chuck, that burglar alarm in this job's got me worried.
I'll let him hit the alarm. There won't be a cop closer than 5 minutes away. We can be out of there in 2 minutes flat. But remember, the bank's going to be no cinch for the two of us to handle. We got to be on our toes from the second we pull up to the time we drive away. Come on, let's go and have a bite.
That's for me. I always work better on a full stomach.
Yeah, they need plenty. We've got plenty of a job on our hands.
Great.
Okay, everybody stay where you are.
It's a heist.
Shut up and you'll be okay. I don't want a word out of any of you. Keep quiet.
Here comes a couple of customers, I think. Dames.
Read them.
Okay, girls, keep quiet. Quiet. Come in and shut the door. I'll walk over there with the rest of them. Go on, walk, will you? It's the way. Keep it up and you won't get hurt.
Get them all in the closet. I'll get the dough.
Right.
And fast. I think they touched off the alarm.
Come on, walk, you two.
Come on, all of you. Get over there. Get over there.
Come on, in the closet. Get in there. Come on, you guys. Make it snappy.
Now, look in here.
Get in there.
Don't go.
You two. Go on. Now, all of you, keep quiet, or you'll see what's inside of a gun. Roll in, pal.
Okay.
How's it take?
Good. Watch out. I'm coming over the rail.
Come in.
All right, let's get out of here. Take your time. Walk to the car. They turn the alarm button. It'll be okay. Hold it at the door.
Looks all right on the street.
Okay, open up.
Much obliged, bank.
Walk to the car.
Looks like we're going to make it.
Go on. Get it started.
How much dough, Bob?
Get it moving.
Get it. Listen, cops, move. Cop closer in 5 minutes, you say. They're gonna try to cut us off.
I'll fix them.
Hey, they're shooting back.
Move.
Hey!
Drive, will you drive?
Points. Description, Goodlettsville bank robbery getaway car. 1946 Pontiac sedan, painted light blue. Tennessee license plates, last three numbers, 105. 105. Be on alert for this car and occupants. Two bank robbers carrying more than $7,000 in cash loot. Last seen headed toward Nashville on Dickerson Road, where bandits may abandon car.
Beautiful, it was beautiful.
Don't get so happy. We're not 10 minutes away yet. We've got a long way to go before we're out of trouble. Now, look. We drop this car a couple of miles from the camp. We walk over, pick up the girls, and we're on our way.
With all that dough, old brother.
Hey, what's the matter?
I don't know.
Well, I got an idea. Yeah, look at the gas gauge.
It was full when we started. I put in 14 gallons.
Well, one of those shots must have hit the tank.
Yeah. Hey, how about it? We can't stay here on the road. We're like sitting ducks.
No. Come on.
I could go back to that station for some gas.
Don't be crazy. Take your coat off.
What?
Take it off.
Okay.
Now, look. We separate and walk back to the cabin. Cops won't think anything of one guy alone and in shirt sleeves. Now, you get back there as soon as you can, and then we'll pull out.
Okay.
Okay. You'll cut through the road. Hey. See these woods? We'll cut through there. You go that way. And I'll head through here.
Just a minute. Let's split up the dough, just in case of a tie.
We haven't got time. I'll see you at the cabin.
I want the dough split up now.
Look, do you want the dough or do you want to get nailed? I'll carry it back and we'll cut it up there. I'll get moving.
Lucy.
Yeah?
What are you sitting there dreaming for? Get packed. The boy said we're pulling out as soon as they get back.
Okay, Stella.
Now, what's the matter with you?
I don't know. I got a funny feeling.
Get packed.
Do you know Chuck had a couple of guns in the glove compartment?
No kidding.
I went to look at them again after they left. They took the guns.
Well, don't you worry your little head about it. Just get packed.
Stella, what do they really do? For business, I mean.
Look, who are you kidding?
No, really.
Listen, you put on this dumb act for 3 weeks now. Chuck can't see through you, I can.
What do you mean?
You're not so stupid you don't know what's going on around you.
Well, what's going on?
Sure, you got everything to gain. If you play dumb, you got a good answer for the cops when the time comes.
What has the police got to do with that?
Honest to goodness.
I don't understand.
The boys are out sticking up a bank right now. As if you didn't know.
They're what?
Hi.
Oh, Chuck.
We're in trouble. We gotta move fast.
Where's Motes?
He'll be along.
Chuck, you didn't, did you?
I didn't what?
She's kidding me. He didn't hold up any bank.
Don't let her put anything over on you, Chuck. She knew all the time. How could she miss?
I didn't, Chuck, I didn't.
What's the idea, Stella?
She didn't fool me a minute.
It's a good thing I don't have time to go into this right now. Come on, let's get the stuff in the car.
I'm staying right here. I'm not going anyplace.
You can do what I tell you.
I won't.
All right, huh? Get them up. Oh. Every window's covered.
Okay, we won't try anything.
Holcomb of the sheriff's office. Your partner was right. Said you'd come back. We've been waiting for you.
I didn't know anything about it until just this minute.
That's right, copper. She's queen.
Don't let her kid you.
The kidding is over for all of you. From now on, it's all serious business. Come on. And join your friend Motes in the lockup.
Well, Don, that was how this gang of bank robbers was broken up only a few hours after they staged the holdup. Craig and Motes each received terms of 71 years, which they're now serving in the state prison at Nashville.
But what about the girls, Stella and Lucy, Sheriff Robinson?
In Stella's case, Don, the fact that she had guilty knowledge of what her companions were up to was quite obvious to John Cole and Jim Richardson, investigators for Attorney General J. Carlton Loser. She was sentenced to a term of 1 to 5 years, which she is now serving. With Lucy, it was a different matter. The criminals insisted they kept all knowledge of their activities from her. So she was released in custody of her parents and returned to Michigan.
Well, thank you, Sheriff Robinson. And gangbusters, congratulations to the police officers who participated in the apprehension of these criminals. Now, as a special feature, Gangbusters presents an interview with the young woman who helped apprehend Kaz Robert Henderson, indicted for grand larceny in King County, state of Washington, whom she recognized from a gangbuster's clue. And here she is from the studios of KRNT, ABC's outlet in Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm Mrs. Ralph Cullender, age 24, and the wife of a doctor and World War II Air Corps veteran.
And you recognized Kaz Robert Henderson, the fugitive wanted by Seattle authorities.
Yes, I did, Mr. McEwen. The clue on the gangbusters program 4 weeks back said that Henderson had the letters True Love tattooed on the back of his fingers and that he might seek work as an electrician. Well, I was working for the Keith Electric Construction Company here in Des Moines.
And Henderson actually walked into your office a week ago?
Yes. And he asked for a job as an electrician, just as it said he might on gangbusters. Then he rested his hands on the office railing and I saw the tattoo. I wanted to scream.
But you didn't.
No, I ushered him into the office of our vice president, Mr. Kyman, for an interview. I signaled Mr. Kyman to stall him there. While Mr. Kyman stalled him, I called the police. When Henderson walked out, he walked right into the arms of two detectives.
Well, you were observant and cool-headed, Mrs. Cullender.
I remembered the point of the gangbuster's clue that affected me, the fact that Kaz Robert Henderson might seek work as an electrician.
On behalf of gangbusters, I congratulate you, Mrs. Cullender, and award you this check for $200.
Thank you, Mr. McCune, and thanks to gangbusters. My husband and I can use the money. We are expecting a baby, and I'm leaving my job July 1st.
Well, good luck, Mrs. Ralph Cullender. Now, this is Charles McCune, transcribed from the studios of KRNT Des Moines, Iowa, switching you back to Gangbusters in New York.
Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ted DeCorsia and Susan Douglas in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
That was directed by William Sweets. He was really a sweet guy, you know?
He was
such a sweet guy.
He was sweet.
Sweet. The case of the Tennessee Trigger Men from June 19th, 1948. Ted DeCorsia, hope you enjoyed that.